be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. And welcome once again. Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning, depending on where you are, on this spinning bauble, this pretty little spinning bauble, floating through space, being schlepped along by this massive thing that we call a star. Anyway, back down to Earth, we've got a very interesting guest tonight, or at least... we share an interest, so that's, to me, that's interesting, so I'd say that was very interesting. Tonight, let me just check, we're the big shout out going to TNSL Radio, and also to Scottish Sovereigns on the Land.ning.com, Ever Beyond, and Wolf Spirit Radio. Hello. Why didn't that happen? Oh, I know why that didn't happen. I always do that. I have these jingles all lined up, and it's really cool, and I go, hello, hello, and there's no sound because it's on the wrong program. Anyway, so, Wolf Spirit Radio, that's the one. Big shout out. Anyway, so, and whoever else is listening in on those networks being relayed to other places, it's all going out there. So, tonight, my guest... appeared on Wolf Spirit Radio through Ed Opperman a few weeks ago, and I thought, oh, I've got to talk to her. I really have to talk to her. Hang on. And so I immediately got in touch, said, come on, please come on my show. Please, 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 please. And after enough cajoling and hassling, I've managed to persuade her to come along. So I would like you to welcome my guest, Tina Foster. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, Jay. How are you? I'm great.
I'm very good. So, where exactly are you talking from?
I'm in Seattle, Washington, in Pacific Coast, Northwest.
Excellent.
USA. Okay, we'll pinpoint it. Excellent. Latitude, longitude.
Twin Peaks country, no less.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I love that series. Really did. Tonight we've been gifted almost with the whole thing about Putin, and I've come up with a new name for the imitation Putin, which is of course Putin, and he may make Putin mouth disease mistakes indeed, like I do all the time. I have a permanent space for my boot as well, and I can talk out the side of it. Anyway, Tina, as you say, we have the common interest of Paul, and in general, the big psyop that is the military-industrial complex end of this thing called entertainment, and the mess that they make of our heads with this stuff. I'll be quiet. I'll let you express your side of these things.
Well, as you said, there it's a psyop. There's a long history of using doubles. Mostly, they're used to protect someone. If there's a public appearance, then the doubles will appear. And for example, one of Saddam Hussein's doubles was actually assassinated, and also Stalin had four doubles who would appear in the parades, and they looked exactly like Stalin. Nobody ever knew that there was any difference or it wasn't Stalin. Kim Jong-il was imposter replaced, according to a professor in Tokyo. And one of the replacements appeared on Japanese television and actually had an interview with the prime minister at the time. And the Japanese knew it was a double because the voice prints didn't match the original Kim Jong-il, but they didn't say anything because it would have embarrassed the Japanese government. So
so that's a sort of Kim Jong better now.
Yeah. So, I mean, when Kim Jong-il was alive, the theory was, or when he was supposedly alive before he was officially replaced by Kim Jong-un, the theory was that the military elite in North Korea were using doubles of Kim Jong-il to just maintain their own power. So, according to this professor, Shakyamura, I think was his name, he thought that Kim Jong-il actually died in 2002. So for a good 10 years, or 12 years, there were doubles, at least four doubles, that were trotted out by the military elite. And they were just using that to maintain control. And, they would use recycled footage of Kim Jong-il visiting a factory that was like maybe 5 years old or something. And I was noticing on that video of Vladimir Putin, which was posted on my blog by one of my co-authors, that one of the more recent conferences that Vladimir Putin had, one of the mainstream media networks was using old footage from 2014, which makes me immediately suspicious that something definitely is up with Vladimir Putin. So, anybody can go to my blog. It's the first entry now. It's plasticmaca.blogspot.com. And there's a video somebody put together on the replacement of Vladimir Putin. And this rumor has been going around since at least 2010. And it's actually in the mainstream media that there's either plastic surgery or Botox, or they're even speculating that there's a double.
Yeah, the president's mole is missing.
And the dimple on the underneath the nose and different skull shape, different demeanor. Now, a lot of times the doubles are so good in how they look that the only way you can tell is how they act. Because, for example, General Bernard Montgomery... I Was Monty's Double was the movie that was made after him, after his double's experience, Emmy Clifton James. But his double was so good that you can look at pictures side by side and know that one is the double, but not be able to tell the difference at all. So, so some of them, and also Joseph Stalin, one of his doubles, just by coincidence, had these same pock marks as Stalin from smallpox. It's pretty wild. So you can't really tell from looking at them sometimes. They're that good. So you have to tell by their personality, by their demeanor. So one of the things that the person who made the video on Putin pointed out was that Putin had this air about him of authority, that he was running the show, he was in control.
Yeah, you've seen the guy with the bear. You know, anybody who has the confidence to wrestle a bear and win is not to be messed with.
And then in later videos...
Or is that one of the doubles who can do this stuff? You know, is one of the doubles this kind of hunky... I mean, he's like pumped. He's proper, isn't he? You know?
Well, then the person who did the video was pointing out that the demeanor of the supposed Putin doubles, or double... that he was just hoping to get away with it. He didn't have that confidence and authority. He kind of was hanging his head. His stance was lacking confidence. So, yeah, look out for things like that. and if, I don't know if you want me to go on about Putin, And I mean, I can only speculate about why he would be replaced. I'm not an expert in Russian politics, but there was that scene in the video where Putin was forcing the factory owners to sign an agreement, and perhaps people in authority were able to replace him. I really don't know what happened to him. But it does seem like doubles were being used, at least.
Okay, hey, I've got another double for you. You're going to love this one, all right?
Okay.
Obama, all right? Now, there are many people that we've, including, actually, Ed? No, it was one of the things that Sean David Morton and I have. I produce his show occasionally, and we have this kind of banter going on about Michelle Obama, and that she's not a she, you know, and also that Barry Zotaro, who, you know, became Obama, and we've spoken to people who used to know him. Mm-hmm. You know, I know personally one person who was on a project, a black project with him in the 60s when he was a child. So he's been a CIA asset ever since. But all right, so there are many people who like absolutely know, like Joan Rivers did, absolutely know that Obama likes guys, you know? This whole president family thing is just a complete false, complete fake. But the other thing is that Obama has a double who is not gay. And he's the one that flirts with all the foreign prime ministers. So that's my bizarre theory of this 5 minutes.
Well, let me just say about Obama. I call him Fobama.
Fobama, good one.
Back a few years ago, I was doing a little bit of research on him, and I'm a lawyer. Okay, so I looked for any law review article written by Obama or Barry Zotaro just to cover my bases, right? Not a single law review article. And I came to find out it's even admitted in the mainstream media that he never published a law review article. It's like, well, how on earth does someone become a, quote, constitutional professor or constitutional law professor without having one single publication? It does not happen.
Exactly. You worked your butt off for this, you know, and that would certainly that feeling of division on that would drive some kind of investigation, eh? So yeah. What did you find out? I mean, I know, because I've been speaking amongst these people who seem to know that he's nothing to what he's supposed to be presented as. Our audience are also up to speed on the Fobama situation. What was your path on that? Where did you start? You Googled something or what? I mean, what?
Well, somebody who claims to be a constitutional lawyer who obviously either doesn't know the Constitution or just does whatever he wants and doesn't care about the Constitution. That's what Obama is doing. So Eric Holder, for example, I have a beef because I've studied international law, okay? So what happens when a treaty is ratified? It becomes federal law. And it is subordinate to the U.S. Constitution. There's no way around it. So what they're trying to say now is that international law trumps the Constitution. And that is totally against all legal principles. So I think that Obama was, the people were so upset with George W. Bush doing things that were not constitutional, that they sold a, quote, constitutional professor, or constitutional law professor, sorry, I keep saying that, to the people and say, oh, well, he's going to honor the Constitution. But that was just a cover story. The guy was never a law professor. I find it, the odds of his actually being a law professor with not having a single publication is like 10,000 to 1 that would ever happen.
Exactly. So
I have more law review articles published than he does, and I would still have trouble becoming a professor because it's a very competitive field.
Exactly. So, either that or, you know, he had friends. Now, from the conversation that I had, I want to step away from Obama in a minute, you know, but there's so much rich pickings, you know, so much to pull apart. So much. Anyway, so apparently he used to be a kind of a real chancer, you know, somebody who would wing it, who would live on a wing and a prayer, and would always borrow money from people. I'm sorry, but that's your president. He's a crackhead. And he's a chancer, and he's faked his way through 8 years of presidency, which is actually that's pretty impressive, to be honest.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if he had been CIA. I mean, the mother was supposedly CIA. I mean, to me, the law professor story is just a story. It's just a cover story, and I haven't really followed it too much. I can't say I'm an expert in Obama at all, but it does seem like people have said that were at the law school, and forgive me that I'm not that well up on it, but that he was not a professor, or he, you know, it's just the whole story is sort of unravels at some point.
yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot that, I mean, for a start, that he's not really Barack Hussein Obama, you know, number one, right? But then who is their name, you know? Yeah, we do know about names and constitution. And also
the interesting thing, too, about the birth certificate is that the intelligence agencies can forge perfect documents.
Yeah.
Nobody would ever know it was a fake. So why is it such an obvious fake? Now, do they hold that over his head, that if he doesn't do what they want, they're going to expose him?
Maybe somebody has stolen the actual birth certificate. look, these people who are in charge of him, they hold him in blackmail, right? He can't put a foot, because everybody behind the scenes knows that he's gay and he's a crack smoking, you know, addict, you know, and he spends most of his time playing golf, because it really doesn't matter, because Dick Cheney's in charge and he's running the whole show. Not only is running Earth, but he's also running Mars.
Right.
Meanwhile, you know, if only the, you know, no. Anyway, let's go towards hang on. Oh dear, why doesn't it never work for me? Here we go. Let's return back to the heady days of 1964. Yeah, she loves you, yeah. And we have Macca and the boys, the real Macca, everybody's, and there's and they're in Hamburg. And they're having a whale of a time, and of course, you know, Paul had to practice his charm somewhere. And obviously he did, and it worked, you know, and he managed to sprog a little Paul-let. Do you want to tell us about this story? Because I tell you, this whole thing unravels the whole fall story from the word go, don't you think?
Right. So Erika Hubers was a lady in Hamburg who said she had an affair with Paul, the real Paul, from 59 to 62 or something like that. And she had a daughter named Bettina Crispin. So in 1984, Bettina Crispin sues Fall, or McCartney, let's call him, for paternity. And McCartney sends over his signature, his picture, all this stuff, and the court determines it's not a match. He's not the father of Bettina Crispin. Well, fast forward to 2007, Bettina Crispin says that McCartney sent a double to give blood. It's not the same picture or the picture of the person on the court case was not the original Paul McCartney, and the signature was by a right-hander and not a left-hander, which Paul McCartney was. She was trying to get the case reopened because of fraud, basically, that McCartney sent a double.
That's awesome, isn't it? I mean, that he could possibly be prosecuted for being the fake one.
Well, it wouldn't have been a prosecution. It just would have reopened the case, because if you commit fraud, then that whole issue would have had to have been resolved, because then it's not the same. Well, it wouldn't have been DNA at that point, but there was obviously not a match to Paul McCartney, because it wasn't Paul McCartney who gave the blood.
Yes,
indeed. So obviously McCartney Fall is not going to be Bettina and Crispin's father. So maybe Paul McCartney was. I mean, Bettina Crispin is supposedly a very good singer, and stuff that seems to support she could have been Paul's daughter. But
oh, she's got this lovely, she's got these beautiful eyes.
Yeah.
They're just like they're just liquid things that just kind of, and that was Macca, that was the real Macca. That's why people loved him. He had this beauty in his eyes that just like captivated everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look, right, so you see these lovely eyes on the blue album, and then on the red album, album, there's these fucking psycho eyes staring down at you. Who the is that? Who's that, mummy? Is that scary man? Where's Paul gone?
And they're also green, because Paul had brown eyes.
Yeah, brown eyes and black hair.
Yeah, and then suddenly it's green eyes on, you know, Strawberry Fields Forever. They show you three times at the same time that they're singing Nothing Is Real.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hello. It's like a big clue right there.
Nothing is real. Not even the moustache. It was a fake moustache.
Yeah, right? And that's in the reverse speech of the reprise of
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Sergeant. Yeah. It was a fake moustache. I've been practicing backwards masking for years.
Actually, well, that's different from reverse speech.
Uh-huh. There's reverse speech and backwards masking, which... backwards masking is a kind of conscious thing, and reverse speech is the unconscious version.
Right.
Yeah.
And also the fake mustache. See, when the forensic scientists did the article for Wired Italia in August 2009, they even hinted at the mustache being the fake mustache being there as a way to hide the difference in the nasal spine.
Yes.
So yeah.
So, and he's got much more of a... I mean, man, you've been a more... You let your face grow long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like somebody's taken him and kind of crossed him with an Anunnaki, and then... it's like, his forehead is like the White Cliffs of Dover. I mean, come on. That is a different bloke. Please, people, anybody...
And the forensic scientists also pointed out the difference in the skull shape.
Yeah.
So they're like, this, you can't change the skull shape in a full-grown adult. It doesn't change. So, but they were also saying that there was photo tampering going on to try to, you know, disguise the skull shape. But that's a dead giveaway, really.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the main thing is the demeanor, the attitude.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I watched a film, actually. It's called A Day in the Life of Paul McCartney's Ego. For research purposes, obviously.
Yeah.
One of the stories, he meets Ozzy Osbourne in it, and he tells Ozzy Osbourne what an idiot he is by being a burglar and wearing fingerless gloves. So his fingerprints got on everything, you know. It's like,
Well, if you watch Paul, the original Paul back in 64 with David Frost, or if you watch the original Paul in Memphis in 66, or really the original Paul in anything, he was humble, he was well-spoken, he was thoughtful. He was not an egomaniac at all. Mm. So I think that Fall has let being Paul McCartney go to his head.
The one mistake you made was in your head. Oh, man, we've got so many. I love Fallology because it's bigger than this. As we've been talking about, you know, the whole idea of Fall and the doubles and opening up to the complete circus that what we call news and what seems to be real, it really is, that it's all fake. You know, everything that you see at 6 o'clock is fake.
And it's manipulation.
Yeah.
So people will chide me for researching Paul McCartney replacement, and it's like, well, you're not getting the bigger picture. It's like, yes, it's one person, but you don't realize how influential the whole entertainment industry is, and then, you know, it opens up onto politics and manipulating society and social engineering. It's this whole big agenda behind it. And it's like, Paul McCartney, really, you couldn't get a better person to be the representative of this agenda, because there might be doubles of Putin and Saddam Hussein, all these people, but nobody wants to go look at hundreds of pictures of Kim Jong-il. You know, looking at Paul McCartney is not so hard. And plus, he's, you know, everybody loves him. You know, McCartney now only gets away with being so mediocre because people remember what Paul did. People love Paul, and they kind of transfer those good feelings onto Fall and kind of make excuses for him. Be like, well, you know, he wrote Eleanor Rigby, so he must have some talent. But it's like, he didn't write Eleanor Rigby. You know? He wrote the Frog Horse. You
know? That's right. Yeah. Okay, so let's just talk about the music of Paul McCartney, right? I'm a musician, right? I do cover songs, which means that I listen very carefully to a tune and figure out exactly how to play it. And my thing is, what I really like to do is kind of get in the head of the, or at least get in the fingers of the player. And so I listen very carefully to style and rhythm, and I find that people have a signature rhythm, right? And in fact, if you listen to Bob Marley, for instance, he has a rhythm, and you hear at the beginning of Exodus, chucka ta chucka ta chucka ta chucka 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 ta chucka ta chucka ta chucka ta chucka ta, that rhythm, okay? And if you listen to every time he plays with that rhythm. Right? That's his natural, spontaneous rhythm. Everybody's got a signature. Okay, and I listen to that signature. Well, we also here on Wolf Spirit Radio, we have a very tame, very lovely sound healer. And the way she heals with sound is by using a particular mathematical analysis of it. It's almost like a geometric relationship with things. And so what she's discovered is that people have signature frequencies. So what we have here, what I'm laying out, is that there is a signature frequency that somebody operates at, which expresses through everything of them, like their voice, their music, the way they walk, the way they play music, the rhythms that they play, the tunes that they sing. So you with me, yeah?
Oh, of course.
So when I listen to Beatles 62, 63, 64, 65, right? And I'm listening to the bass line. You know, lovely upbeat rhythms. And then post, and it's Strawberry Fields. The end of Strawberry Fields is the entrance of what I call Falls Pedestrian Rhythm, which then becomes eventually, oh, that's sort of Beatlesy, which is this dang, 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 dang. That, my brothers and sisters, my sisters and brothers, is what we call a pedestrian beat. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Military training.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So what belies military training? I have, I play in a covers band, as I said, and in the last few years, many of the musicians that I've been playing with have a connection with the RAF.
Yeah.
And so, I'm familiar with, again, the music of military base or military trained people, military trained musicians. So, I thought I'd give you that little nugget.
No, that's interesting because I have thought that there are clues that Fall was either an intelligent
sergeant. Sergeant Pepper.
Or in the police, because there's the OPP patch, right? Ontario Provincial Police, that was tampered with on Sergeant Pepper to look like OPD, which was officially pronounced dead. And there's a the reverse speech in one of Fall's songs that clearly says CIA. It's a bit weird. And then, of course, on Let It Be album, there's reference to CIA, FBI, pictures. I mean, there's more stuff that kind of makes me think that he was trained, like you said, some sort of military training, as opposed to just a double, like an actor who just happened to look like Paul somewhat. Not a very good double because people can see it, but enough to kind of get away with it for the most part. So
So look, all right. So I just wanted to get kind of contribute to your collection, your Fall Is Dead, that these little nuggets that I've kind of come up with myself. Okay, so well, go ahead.
I do like it when people who are more talented musically than I am give feedback like that. Other people have said, well, Paul never looked at his fretboard while Fall needs to look to play an open E, you know, like
right.
on the bass, right?
That's
like,
right.
It's the top string. You don't really need to look for that. But anyway, and also, well, I mean, like with the music, I mean, a lot of musicians, well, music scholars, I would say professors, somebody contacted me and they were like, people really don't understand what happened because Paul was a musical genius and Fall, like what happened? Like he's not. So why didn't Paul continue to improve? Why did he kind of fall off the bandwagon or fall off the truck or whatever you call it? And so they don't understand, it's not the same person writing. But what I think probably happened, like you said, at the very end of Strawberry Fields is where you see or you hear that pedestrian bass come in. What I think is that probably a lot of songs were at least partially recorded, or there are at least bass tracks laid down and vocal tracks, and there's a whole lot of music going on back then. So they could probably incorporate elements of Paul into songs. Paul, you know, so they have maybe like real Paul bass line in Strawberry Fields up until the end, like you were saying. And, so it kind of makes it confusing to sort out what's going on with these songs. Like, for example, She's Leaving Home was recorded, and then it was recorded in mono, and then it was slowed down, and released in stereo, and the mono versions were destroyed. So that makes me think that Fall actually sang on that song. It was slowed down to sound like Paul, and then they destroyed the evidence that it was Fall. So, and some evidence of support that different people are seeing on these songs is Dr. Henry Entruby, who back in 1969, when the story of Paul being dead was really big news all over the world, pretty much, he did sonograms on Yesterday, Penny Lane, and Hey Jude, and found three different voice prints. So three different people were singing on those songs. So Paul on the original, and the, on the, I'm sorry, Yesterday, you know, and then two voice doubles after that. So in the studio, it can be anybody singing. They can use studio magic to make it sound like Paul, and they can have distortion on the voice, which they have in Lady Madonna. They can have people singing over the voice. So it makes it a little bit challenging, especially for somebody who's not really a musician, to sort out what's going on in the music.
Talking of technology, I'm reminded of a video that I've seen, and it was made in the early 70s, and what they did some trickery with it, and they've dubbed Paul's face on an interview with Fall somehow.
Oh yes,
you know the one I'm talking about.
Yes. And it was on my blog. I think they took the video down because I don't want people to see that. But yeah, you see the original video of Fall, and then you see the cleaned up version where they have made it look more like Paul. And yeah,
and it's really creepy. Yeah. I was totally creeped out by it. I was thinking, what? I'm having a like cognitive dissonance hour looking at this thing. it feels very uncomfortable.
Oh, and also, and just going back to the voices real quick, if you go and listen to the vocal tracks that have been isolated for Paul, for example, on The Night Before versus Fall on Back in the USSR, it is shocking the difference. Like, Paul sounded great. Fall, not so much. Like, oh no.
He's a bit squawky. He's a bit more squawky. You know, he's... and you know, he can do some high notes.
Well, he can hit higher notes than Paul.
Yeah.
And that was actually one of the songs that people pointed out that Fall never sang because it was maybe a little bit hard for him. But yeah, no, there are people who have noticed that Paul did not hit those higher notes like Fall does. So anyway.
There's also things you can't fake. There are certain overtones that are connected with the sinuses in your head and the shape of your head and the density of various parts of your head and the thickness of your throat. And all of those factors make what the real Paul McCartney's voice made that, as well as his heart. You can hear the heart in this man. And when you listen to Fall, it's like he's literally a parody. And you know, the most awkward moment in Beatles history is looking at the rehearsal tapes that they were doing for the Let It Be session. Have you seen those? And there's a time when they're all kind of sitting around glum and you know, he's trying to kind of jolly them all up, and he does this kind of body shake thing that's like, hey guys, you know, and like does this like I'm pretending to be Paul McCartney, and everybody's like, fuck off. Please go away and die. I'm not surprised they split up. I couldn't bear to be with that man. Couldn't bear to. Anyway, meanwhile, back in. But it was a really. Are you aware of the piece that I'm talking about?
Let It Be.
Yeah, and when they were rehearsing.
Did they say that you guys used to do it, which is kind of weird, because was is it he? What is that? Who used to be doing it?
I say that again. You got a bit broken up. Aha. Yes, you're getting a bit broken up. Tina, can I reconnect with you? I'm going to have to reconnect with you. Where's me Beatles? Where's me massive Beatles collection? I've got a massive Beatles collection. Oh, and everything's running down. That's interesting. So, let's see if I can get to my Beatles collection. Under Rock. The Beatles. The Beatles. Beatles discography. It's great. This is lovely. Uh-huh. Let's try calling her back. There we go. And we'll see. We
Hello.
Said our goodbyes. Yes, indeed.
Well, I've never had technical difficulties.
Right, let me put my headphones back on so I can hear you. There we go. Right, Tina.
Yes, I've never had technical difficulties like that before.
I got completely wiped. Everything. Everything stopped. Everything, every computer, every broadcast, my router, everything stopped.
Wow. So, maybe somebody doesn't like this information getting out.
Yeah, this is good stuff. That's good stuff. So, now, we'll make sure I am recording on both streams. That's great. Wonderful. Where are we? Anyway, look, great. So, where were we? We were talking about some good stuff, so let's continue talking about it.
I forgot. But I think we were talking about Fall in Let It Be. So
yes,
he was saying that I haven't seen this movie for a long time, so I might not get it exactly right, but he said something about like you guys used to do it like that.
That's right.
We used to do it because wasn't he supposedly doing it with them at that point? So, and there are so many things that Fall has said over the years that he basically tells you he's not the original Paul McCartney without actually saying, hey, I'm not the original Paul McCartney. Like, he'll say, I don't want to say I'm schizophrenic, but really I'm two people, or maybe I'm two people. And he says, oh, there's me and the famous him. I'm just some kid from Liverpool who gets on stage or something. It's like, well, is he really from Liverpool? Because I've had people from Liverpool say that's not a Liverpoolian accent. I don't know.
Well, there's the thing about his accent, right? Yeah, which of course is a false accent. You know, it's like the fakest accent that you've ever heard. It's like somebody pretending to be a Scouser. I mean, I, from London, can do a better Scouser than he can.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I'd still get hit on my head by my Scouser friends. But, you know, this is, and it's really interesting to play this whole idea through, you know.
You were saying that Fall is like a parody of Paul.
Yes.
Well, the funny thing is that he's a parody of Paul in his early 20s.
Yes.
So he can never really be like a fully mature adult Paul McCartney because Paul was probably more mature than Fall at 23, 24, but he can never really break out of that early Beatles with the little head thing going when they were playing and, you know, acting like that because that's what he studied. Mm. That's what he trained.
That's all he saw.
That's all he knows. That's all he can do.
All he can do is learn from old tapes and videos. So here's all right. So this is they must have been reading my mind because the next thing that I'm going to be talking about takes us really down the rabbit hole, right? And this is the world now. Our audience is familiar with the world of MK Ultra.
Yes.
And of the Montauk Project. And of the Tavistock Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And we are aware that people can be traumatized and reprogrammed.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand the process of this traumatization process and, you know, the whole bit, triggers, all this stuff. We know all about it. The man I used to run the station with, who has since died, Dave, was one of the earliest MK Ultra survivors, you could say. He was in his he was 70s, but he had 15 sub personalities, alters he called them, and they and by that time he'd reintegrated them because they're like fragmented soul particles. Essentially, this is partly why people listen to this station, is they realize that we all have our souls fragmented. We've all been fragmented. And it's bringing us all back together again, which is the whole get yourself together thing, theme that has been going on through all the music that we've been listening to. So more of my thoughts are that, they probably have tried to create a Paul Alter in Fall that is triggered whenever he goes on stage.
I mean, that's possible. There's definitely, well, in my opinion, MKUltra and Tavistock play a part in what happened with the replacement, because I actually think all the Beatles were replaced. I think the original Beatles got to where they were on their talent, on their popularity, on their good merit, that they were part of, they were like a love consciousness, bringing music, using music to raise consciousness. I have this whole theory. Okay. Like, if you study.
No. Go, do bring it out, because again, we are about higher consciousness and, you know, ever beyond. So, you can feel as free as a bird to put your spiritual side of this, because really this is, you know, this is an esoteric show. It's not just about the entertainment industry. It is, in fact, that's the last thing it's about. So go ahead, consciousness.
Sure. Okay. So there are different theories about why Paul might have been replaced. And, you know, he was against the Vietnam War. He was talking out against it. They were critical of excessive government taxation. They were, not going along with the drug agenda. They were exposing satanic ritual sacrifice. They were, Paul was interested in outing the truth about JFK. All right. But then I think there's also this whole bigger picture of the war on consciousness, that the good versus evil, right? That the Beatles were on the side of good, that they were using music to raise consciousness. So, for example, the 432 hertz versus the 440 standard weaponized music that people have referred to, which is the standard tuning of 8 equals 440 hertz. The Beatles recorded in the Help album in 432 hertz.
432
is what I've researched, that 432 hertz is more harmonic. It's actually based on the Fibonacci spiral of the frequencies, and it's uplifting, it's healthier, and all of this good stuff. Okay, it's all this Beatles music full of light and love. People love them for a reason. You know, they resonated with that love frequency. Okay, so Beatles, good. For example, Tomorrow Never Knows, maybe one of the most spiritual songs ever, right? Because it's based on the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which people have tried to say, oh no, it was an LSD experience. Well, if you go and look at the Tibetan Book of the Dead, it's like word for word out of that book, you know? And it's like, when is your soul experience at death? You know, it goes and it has a choice of being reborn and the cycle of reincarnation, or going and, you know, going on to wherever it goes after that. So it's just highly spiritual. So the Beatles were bringing that into society, into consciousness. People were getting more spiritual. Okay. So then you have the powers that be. They're like, okay, these people are way too popular. and way too influential. We don't want this positive shift in consciousness in the society, so how are we going to stop this? Well, in my opinion, they with Paul, that would definitely be cutting the head off the snake there, because in my opinion, he was the musical genius of the band, basically the leader of the band, because I watched an interview with the four Beatles when they were with Jimmy Nichols, who's sitting in for Ringo, right? Like, Ringo had tonsillitis or his tonsils out or something. And every single time the interviewer asked Jimmy Nichols a question, he looked at Paul. So anyway, even if Paul's not the leader, it doesn't really matter. It's either Paul or John or both of them together. They're leaders of the band. So I do think that all four Beatles were replaced. And I think that the band was usurped and co-opted by the puppet doubles because of the agenda of using music and using their popularity to take society consciousness down. And so MK Ultra and Tavistock come into that because Tavistock is sort of the, I would say maybe the ones who coordinated it. I mean, even Lyndon LaRouche, who is a political figure here, he's very fringe, but he said that the Beatles were basically, let me see if I can find that quote real quick for you. I'm sorry. And I don't think he's talking about the original Beatles, because the original Beatles, if they had been team players, if they'd been part of the agenda, there would have been no reason to replace them. So there's something going on why they had to be replaced. And I think it's because they were not in line with the agenda. And in fact, they would not go along with the drug agenda. Okay, so this is what Lyndon LaRouche said. The Beatles were a product shaped according to British Psychological Warfare Division Tavistock specifications, and promoted in Britain by agencies which are controlled by British intelligence. Someone else said, I don't have whoever said this, that the Beatles, or Fetals, played a key pivotal role in the mass social experimentation carried out by Britain's Tavistock Institute in conjunction with covert intelligence agencies like the CIA, NSA, and Britain's MI5, MI6. So the Beatles were, the music was combined with LSD, which people, let me find that real quick. The LSD quote here, just so you have a little bit of a background on how LSD was used for brainwashing, right? So Colin Ross, MD, found an MKUltra document that said some of the more outstanding effects are the mental confusion, helplessness, and extreme anxiety which are produced by minute doses of this substance, LSD. Based upon these reactions, its potential use in offensive psychological warfare and in interrogation is considerable. It may become one of the most important psychochemical agents. So then Timothy Leary, who admitted to being a CIA asset, said the Sgt. Pepper album compresses the evolutionary development of musicology and much of the history of Eastern and Western sound in a new tympanic complexity. Then as psychedelic drugs, millions of kids turned on pharmacologically listening to stoned out electronic music designed specifically for the suggestible psychedelicized nervous system by stoned out long haired minstrels. This is the most powerful brainwashing device our planet has ever known. And Leary was talking about the war on consciousness. Let me see if I can find his quote real quick.
Well, while we're thinking about having a Beatles psychedelic experience, let's actually have a Beatles psychedelic experience. since we got a break at the top of the hour, I'm going to have a triple psychedelic experience. We're going to go from Tomorrow Never Knows to It's All Too Much, to within you, without you. So we're going to have a sort of mystical Eastern Beatlesy psychedelic moment here, from one side to another. Thank you very much. My guest is Tina Foster. We are investigating Fall and the Fetals. Stand by for Footin. Within you and without you, with or without you. Anyway, there we are. There's some psychedelic Beatles for you. This is Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio, and we are on Tierna Sauer and Scotty Sovereigns on the land.ning.com and Wolf Spirit Radio. Did I say that before? And Ever Beyond Radio. So, welcome back. My guest tonight. I also have to apologize for all we got completely hit. Everything went down. My router went down. My player stopped playing. My everything just stopped. I think it's a natural wave. It may be a solar flare or something hitting the planet. Anyway, let's move on. My guest tonight is Tina Foster, and we're having a great chat. We're talking about Fall and Footin, and I want to bring another one into the mix, Tina. Phallix. Alex Jones or Bill Hicks. Who knows about Alex Jones and Bill Hicks? That's a really tricky one. I mean, to me, that is borderline. What do you think?
I don't think so. But, you know, I'm not an expert on phallix. So that sounds really bad, by the way.
It does, doesn't it? Phallix, yes. All right. Well, let's go to now where go ahead.
We were talking about Timothy Leary and the War on Consciousness. If you want me to just finish up that.
Oh, do, because that's the good bit.
Okay. So Timothy Leary, who admitted to being a CIA asset, said, "I proceeded as an intelligence agent, an intelligence agent since 1962, understanding that the next war for control of this planet and beyond had to do with the control of consciousness." And then Wes Penra, who is also a writer about the Illuminati, said, "The trends are set by the Illuminati-owned music industry, where they know exactly how frequencies work. They have the best scientists working for them. The music they produce vibrates on the frequency they want us to vibrate on for the moment to enhance the New World Order agenda. And that's it. They want to keep us on a certain frequency where they can control us as a whole." So then, so basically the elite have used frequency to exert power and control over the masses. Thomas Schauff explained that as a result of this influence, the arc of Western civilization has gone from ascent, belief in God, focused on the higher centers of love, joy, purity, and selflessness, to descent, focused on the lower centers of consciousness, like those of power, wealth, and physical gratification. And I would say that Helter Skelter, although I personally like the song, I think it's an example of using music to bring people down, if that makes sense. It was written to be disturbing to the body's energy matrix. McCartney, who probably did not write it, it's probably actually Charles Manson who wrote it, and there's evidence for that. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But McCartney claimed that it was written to be the most ruckus vocal with the loudest drums, and that it was a symbol of a ride from the top to the bottom, the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. And this was the fall, the demise. So basically, society in its demise. And then John Todd, who also was talking about the Illuminati, talked about the song Helter Skelter and the White Album as basically being very important to witches. It was Helter Skelter was it was recognized by witches to be a time when the pit would be opened and the demons would be set free and the world would become insane and everybody would be killing everybody and it would be mass insanity overnight. So
that sounds like Tuesday.
This is very dark stuff that you go into with the replacement of the Beatles. So it's like this opposite Tibetan Vic of the Dead with Torn Over News, which we just got to hear, to me would be the ascent, and then Helter Skelter, which is the descent. It's like these two extremes. And for me, that's the Beatles, right? The originals were this like spiritual love and light, aligned with God, creator, and then the Beatles taking it and just going, running the complete opposite direction and trying to take society down with them. So, anyway.
So, it's, it's, and this is why I bang on about this. To be honest, you know, I'm with you on that. This is why I bang on about the fall conspiracy. That it's part of it's the externalization of satanic ritual, which is a show topic that has popped up more than once on Never Beyond, because it's part of reality. You know, we have to be aware of it, that's what they're doing. Like you were saying before, we can be positive. Oh no, you weren't. Sorry, Cindy was saying that. But that we have to be that we try to be positive, but we can't forget that there's a sinister overtone to the whole thing, because it's all run. You know, if you're in a band, right? This is a kind of being in a band thing, is that you have to deal with promoters. If you want to go to a concert, you're usually kind of called and brought together by a promoter. And the promoters have to deal with the sleaziest people in the world. And so eventually they get tainted. And there are very, very, very few promoters who are sort of nice guys. And that's the atmosphere that the entertainment industry is. There's such an undertone of, like, people. Like, who are just very hungry and not very high consciousness. This is the soup that they seem to have made. That was like the cow turd that the lotus has grown out of.
Well, it's funny because there is a person on the Sgt. Pepper album who brings together the satanic with the Tavistock Institute, and that is Aleister Crowley. So, according to John and George, if that's their real names, you know, in the 70s, they said that we put people on the Sgt. Pepper album that we liked and admired or whatever. And so there's Aleister Crowley, right? He's a Satanist. He's a founding father of modern occultism. He was a British intelligence asset, MI5, and co-founder of the Tavistock Institute. So he used drugs in his work with intelligence to see how he could use mescaline, for example, to influence people or see how they reacted to that, and using drugs for behavior modification and mind control. So probably out of Aleister Crowley's work came the use of LSD, and how do we use LSD to socially engineer people and then combining it with music, right? So, this whole satanic angle, you know, I personally think that the Butcher album, which was released it was yesterday and today in America, but people call it the Butcher album, right? So, cause it has like the Beatles with, little baby dolls with like meat, and then on the inside there's a woman who, it's like she's doing a ritual with like these entrails or something. So I personally think that Paul and maybe the other Beatles were trying to expose what went on, because Paul was pushing for that album cover. And when you see it, it's like, what on earth? What were they thinking? You know? And as soon as the album came out, it got pulled very quickly. so there aren't too many of them around. And but if you think about like the satanic ritual sacrifice and abuse that goes on, it's like he was trying to get that message out. And was that one of the reasons why they had to get rid of him? You know, I don't know. But it does make you wonder looking at it. And then the fact that it was pulled so quickly, it's like somebody, probably the powers that be, like maybe it got out and they were like, no, we can't have this getting out to people. They're going to figure out what's going on. That would be my take on it.
Okay. I've always had a little bit of problem with the chronology until, as I said before, I've interviewed some very interesting insiders who were CIA assets and had involvement in... Had involvement in... time travel. And... have you seen the TV series Fringe ever?
I have, yes.
Okay, well, the TV series Fringe is about an interdimensional portal that was created by bringing one person from the other side to this side, and it's caused a rift in space-time. So... there's another dimension to this idea, is that the Beatles actually had, because of the connection with the CIA and MI5 and all that, somehow they were trying to mess about with things, and perhaps somebody had the idea of, I know, why don't we go back in time and give them a whole load of song titles to play with? Because my problem with the chronology is that songs from 1965... were kind of referring to what was going on. So it's either that they were planning something like this, or that something like this happened, and then they went back and pretended to plan it, just to confuse everybody, because the chronology is wrong. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do have an idea of what might have happened. Okay. Assuming that you believe in time travel... It's possible. I don't know. It's possible that that maybe the Beatles were a part of some sort of raising of consciousness, right? And they were taken out to prevent that. Okay, but probably more realistically for me is that, I mean, if you believe in God, if you believe in Creator, if you believe that there are messages about future events, that maybe some of these songs were not really coincidentally talking about a future event, but that it came through. Like some future event would come through. Because like for me, a little bit problematic are some of the clues in Yellow Submarine. Okay? Like when you reverse them, there are clues about what happened to Paul, in my opinion, and yet the song was before Paul died or was replaced. So it's like, well, how does that happen? It could be leakage in that greater consciousness, God consciousness, or whatever, that it's coming through. I don't know. I mean, it's just an idea.
Yeah. I mean, that's another possibility, because obviously, now, here's the thing, right? Again, my listeners are aware that I read rays, which is the frequency of people's soul energy and their personality and energy and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so it's nothing that is like as scientific as measuring frequencies, because I use dowsing to do it, right? Mm-hmm. So, but if you... And you can go, actually, if anybody wants to challenge my ability to read people's rays, just listen to any of the shows that I've done it. And I'm often, you know, I don't know, I'd like to say I'm more than 90%, you know, on it. So when I look at the two, let's say the blue Paul and the red Fall, when I look at Paul, I see 1, 2, 4. Right now, that it may not mean anything to you. My listeners may start to get it, but that he had a strong connection with the light and the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And his soul energy was service to others and healing. And that his personality energy was of harmony through conflict, which means that he brought great harmony to a period of time which was very conflicted. People were very confused at that time of year of in the 1950s, weren't they? At the beginning of the 60s, it was an uncertain time, and they brought through this. So he and John was 126, which again they was like soul brothers, and they came on to work this thing together, and John was 126, which made him that kind of slightly more slightly more angry about things. Paul was like the peacemaker. John was a bit like more of a warrior. The six is the ray of the warrior. how can I put it? Anyway, long story, but the jihadist. That's the extent of the ray six. That can go as way as far as the fanatical jihadist type. But that's not saying that Paul was quite revolutionary. And anyway, so I'm totally on board with your idea that they were sent by God himself, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Because their rays demonstrate that.
Nice.
And what was George? I think George is 276. George is like typical of the many humans. Many people I read on the radio, people call into my show, have the package of George, 276.
And what is that?
Okay, so that's Ray 2 of the monad, which is a human monad, earth human. That's the higher self, higher spirit, whatever you might call it, the thing beyond the soul. The personality is like how we express and how we ego, mm-hmm. And the soul is our intent and our connection with spirit, and our spirit is our true beingness, the I behind mm-hmm. the I that is the really true I, the highest self of you, which recognizes itself as part of unity, part of the source. So that's the one when we were referring to John and Paul. And so the two group is the human group, and at the moment we're moving from a 2-6 to a 2-7 soul energy. That's the old age and the new age. In the old age, the sixth ray, like I said, was the ray of the warrior and the jihadist and the extremist, and this is what we're seeing now in the wars all around is the playing out of all of that, the final bloodbath, because it has to end in a bloodbath. It always ends in blood for Ray 6. That's what it's about. That's the whole thing mm-hmm. about blood sacrifice and the ending of blood sacrifice. So we're going to finally be at the end of that sacrificial time, and we come into a sense of collected unity, that is a collective mind but individual expression, not a Borg. Anyway, go ahead.
What about Ringo?
Ringo! Now, let's have a quick hang. Ringo, the lowbrow of the band. Actually, to be honest, when you talk about highbrow and lowbrow, Paul was quite lowbrow. His eyebrows were not very far from the top of his skull. whereas Paul, there's the White Cliffs of Dover. There's a flat, wide, broad brow. Then his hairline starts,
mm-hmm.
and I think he's got a widow's peak behind all that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I think that's interesting about your soul signatures, because have you picked up on anything on fall? Because you said
yeah,
fall,
all right, okay. So
fall was 1-2-4, and then not that I really know what that means, but
okay. So fall, right? You're gonna love this. Fall, I picked up as 3-4-7. All right, now. Yeah, I didn't tell you about the three group, because we like to focus on the positive here. But the three group monad are essentially That green eye of Mordor. Lot.
Oh my god. And Fall has green eyes.
The poor, the, you know, the, not to say everybody's who got green eyes is an evil, evildoer. But that there is a ray, because like ray color, you know, eye color goes right through, you know, they got all different colors. But the ray three monad is, so they're basically, their higher self is the powers that be, is the Illuminati entity. So those who have sold, let's say. Now, part of our job is to rescue some of the people in there. And that's part of what Paul and John's job was. That to find them, to get through them, to be a beacon.
And they got shot down.
And they get shot down. Boom, yeah. So you have to be clever, you know, you have to do it like a different way. Every time, try a different way. But here's the thing. Four, Ray 3 Monad, Ray 4 Soul, and Ray 7 Personality. Now, what that means is he's a very predictable personality. Ray 7 is like a, it can do things very regularly. For instance, it can do the practice of learning how to play a piano. You know, it can, but the seventh ray is often, it's a rhythmic beat. But sometimes the rhythm, you know, he's programmed, you see. So he can only do this pedestrian rhythm. That's why his music is mediocre, because his creativity, his connection to source is limited to that which he is exposed to. He's like a chameleon. All right. Yeah. So there's this fourth ray soul. This is the programmable soul. Most of the people who I've read who have got ray four souls are either musical geniuses or super soldiers.
Oh.
And super soldiers are programmed. They have fragmented souls. Something to think about. So
no, it's that's fascinating.
That's where four goes. He's fragmented. You can see it. So the connection. The Ray 4 is also incredibly able. Somebody with the connection of 4 and 7 can do incredible things, like balancing acts and stuff like that. You know, being able to skate backwards, stuff like that. Also Ray 7 is a magical ray, so that's his interest in black magic as well, or magic in general.
Right. The Magical Mystery Tour.
Magical Mystery Tour, okay, you know? Everybody can do it better. Bloody hell, you know. I bet my German girlfriend could do a better Liverpudlian accent than Fall. So, shall we just play some real Paul just to get our spirits back up.
Yes.
Yeah, what do you think?
Maybe one of Fall's songs.
A Taste of Honey?
Well, that's not one of its originals. How about I'm Looking Through You, because that is a PID song, even though it's before it happened.
Yeah, the beard. Yes, I'm Looking Through You. Where's that? That's Rubber Soul, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm Looking Through You. Here we go. Have some Beatles history. I'm Looking Through You. 2 minutes, 26 seconds. On you go. Hello, hello. We are back on... Oh, no. Stop. I didn't say do that. Gosh. These players. There's all the computers are running really slowly. And so they're not behaving as you expect. And they come up with little things that say, you can't do that. And I say, yes, you will. You're my computer. I order you to. Anyway, so we're having none of that. Maybe the crystals are revolting. This is the day. You know, imagine one day that all the crystalline matter in this planet decided that it wasn't going to work for humans anymore. You know, everything. You know, glass. Glass would cease to work for humans. It'd just still go black. You know, hey, screw you. You think I'm transparent, do you? Ha! Boom. Anyway. So, yeah, I'm looking through you. Or I'm not, if glass decides to revolt. You know, spectacles won't work anymore. That, you know, it'd be really strange. Anyway. So, because in this world of smoke and mirrors, entertainment, conjuring is a reality. It's a normal thing, you know. Everybody knows how conjurers do things, or conjurers, or people who run stage things do that stuff. Yeah, stagecraft. Mm-hmm. So, making somebody look like somebody else. You know, there are even imitation Beatles, aren't there? There are people who play, look, and sing. They call them tribute bands all over the world, you know.
There's one person named Ivan Roche who's in Canada, who's in a Beatles tribute band. He taught himself to play bass left-handed. And he can do it well enough to play on stage. So, yes, a double can learn to mimic the original, even down to playing left-handed bass.
Fascinating.
Thanks.
So, and by the way, has anyone seen Leonard Nimoy and Leonard Cohen in the same room? That's all I'm saying. I'm saying nothing else. I'd love to have heard Leonard Nimoy singing one of Leonard Cohen's songs. He would have done it perfectly. They sound just the same to me. Anyway, so
William Shatner.
The world of doubles, the world of Futin. Okay, so like you were saying, like, you know, when you opened the program up, we were talking about, you know, in this world of high politics and risky business. It's worthwhile to have a few doubles around because they can protect you. And even if we look at Star Wars a long, long time ago and in a galaxy not that far away, you know, Padma is the actual Empress. The woman who appears to be the Empress is a fake.
Yeah.
She's pretending to be the princess, and the real princess is actually one of the ladies in waiting, Padma.
Mm-hmm.
So we can see that it's you know, the concept is not unusual.
Mm-mm.
Of replacing people. So I mean, I'm just trying to think if there's anybody who I've missed out in the whole like people who have been famous, people who have been replaced. Genre. Actually, do you want to talk about fake George and fake Ringo then?
Oh gosh, you know, I've talked about fake John, which is Paul is very easy to see that he's been replaced. I mean, as far as doubles go, that's pretty easy. John is the next easiest because there are nose differences and then the chin. And also John was stouter and he was really funny. And the John or Fawn or whatever after was not funny at all. No, kind of more irritable, I would say. he's trying to pretend like he's John, and he doesn't really quite pull it off. Same as Fall with Paul, whatever. The George and the Ringo, well, Ringo, the nose was definitely different. In the later ones, like the nose just got a lot bigger, and also he got shorter. So that's hard to explain, you know. And George...
Well, you could say that it was affected, adversely affected by gravity, and just kind of... there was only one place it could come out.
Right. George is sort of more... Yeah, there's... Well, like, George had a very distinctive Scouse accent, right? Which is not in the later George. It's like the way he spoke, and I can't mimic it, but so that, and then also George was cute, you know, and the later one, like on Magical Mystery Tour, just kind of creepy. for George, it's more of the accent and the way, the demeanor. That gives it away. Because the others are better body doubles than Fall. I mean, basically. So you have to look for non-physical giveaways. But, you know, in the world of intelligence, if there's one misplaced eyebrow, or just the skin tone is off just a little bit on an ear prosthetic, then your giveaway is a double. I mean, your cover's blown, basically. So it's funny how somebody like Fall, who has like 20 physical differences, documented, at least by forensic scientists, there are at least 5 or 6, right, that can't be explained. Then how is it that he gets away with being such a bad double, you know? And it's really because whoever controls the media is backing him and keeps people thinking, oh, that's Paul McCartney. And it's sort of like people are trained. It's like a weird brainwashing that's going on, because people who are from other countries, don't know the Beatles, kids, they look at pictures of Paul and Fall and they're like, no, that's not the same person, obviously, you know? So it's a little bit creepy that one can be brainwashed like that. Like, there's some weird veil.
I have a very interesting... this is what we call cognitive dissonance. Mm-hmm. And I kind of somehow in my head I said, right, okay, I'm going to take this moment apart, because there's this thing that goes on when we look at a picture of the Fab Four, right? And we see John, he's the one with the glasses, so there's John. And then there's the one with the triangular pointy face. There's George, yeah? And then there's the one with the big nose and the droopy eyelids. There's Ringo. And who the... Oh, well, don't be silly. That has to be Paul. And that whole recognition moment is speeded up to a nanosecond. And you get this little hit that says... You stupid person, how dare you? How dare you imagine that that's not Paul?
Mm.
And there's a mind control nugget in there. I don't know how they did it.
Well, they put Paul McCartney next to every picture of Fall, so you're trained that that's Paul McCartney. And so even for me, when I started researching PID back in 2008, I knew there was something wrong, but it took me 2 days of intensively studying pictures before I could actually see it. And it was like this little light went on, or a little switch got flipped. It's like, ah, oh, I don't know how they did it, but it's like, I couldn't see it at first. It was kind of creepy.
It is. And it's a spell. I really think you're correct. It's a black magic spell.
It's something. And a lot of people are still under it. And they don't care about the forensic scientists or like, there's a 6% difference in the measurement of the jawline. We can't explain that. That's obviously not the same person. But they're like, well, I don't want to believe that that's not the same person. So I'm just going to ignore the facts, you know?
It's too much. It's all too much for me to take. That's what, you know, there's a lot going on, and there wasn't enough time to process it, you know, and that's all that chaotic Beatles stuff. Too much was going on too many dimensions. You know, there was too much weird stuff. All right. So have you heard about the, what do they call them? Oh, the electric beetle? No. All right. So here's, I believe, a mind from Fall himself. Right, because I believe that only Fall could produce this stuff. And essentially, there was, I don't know if you've heard about this, but there was a recording that was made and published on the web. I'm sorry, I'm just trying to think and find it at the same time. All right, so I'll just run it through. It was supposedly an album that was recorded on a cassette tape that had been drawn from a parallel dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it basically was like, it was sort of like the Beatles, it sounded like the Beatles, but it had other stuff in it.
Are you talking about the Isaac Asimov thing?
The Isaac Asimov thing? Tell us more about the Isaac Asimov.
Well, it's just basically that Fall went to Isaac Asimov in the early 70s with a screenplay of a band that had been replaced by alien imposters.
Oh, really? Had it? I have not. Tell us about this, and I'll see if I can find this other thing. Yeah?
Well, Fall basically just had this outline of it. Of the screenplay, and he wanted Isaac Asimov to develop it or write it, and it was like 5 and 5 and 5 is 1 or something like that. It's on the blog. I just haven't looked at it for a while. But Fall was trying to tell Isaac Asimov how to write, and he's like, he didn't want to do it. But yeah, it's funny. It's like imposters. It's like, that's just another clue. It's like, come on, people, you have to be beaten over the head with this stuff, you know.
Maybe they have to. I don't know. I mean, really?
But alien thing made me wonder if that's what you were talking about. So
right. No. This is something else. And I still think it's something that Fall, you know, he's messing with people's heads. Because what it is, you know, again, I'm a trained engineer. I got a good ear and I can hear what is something from someplace. And, you know, what is a new piece of sound and how they're added together and overlaid and things like that. And I can't find them. They must, they're somewhere. I got them because basically, in this parallel universe, they haven't got digital and everything is on cassettes still, right? They're all still using cassettes. And they're like, it was a TDK, you know, your regular TDK cassette. And when you listen to it, it doesn't sound like it came off a cassette at all. Parallel dimensional Beatles. There may be some. I believe there may be a parallel dimension / time travel / black ops operation that is involved with this whole thing, which really stirs the waters. Mm. Let's not even mention the Nazis, because I think I got away with it for the whole show. That I got away with the whole show without mentioning time-traveling Nazis, because that's... what can I say? It's my favorite subject. It sounds really bizarre, but, you know, it's a long story. one day there'll be a book. Tina, we're coming to the end now of this. I've really enjoyed myself. I don't know. I hope you've enjoyed yourself.
Me too.
It's been a blast. We got completely blasted in the middle and screwed them. Back on the air in 5 minutes. I don't care. We were going over to Frank Jordan and the Healing Show just at the top of the hour. Tina, do you want to do you have like YouTube channels? Do you have stuff? You got one blog? Are you on Facebook? Let the people know. And what do you want from them? Do you want stories? Do you want interviews? What do you want to do?
Any help with the research is greatly appreciated, and I credit everybody, even anonymous. I'll be like, I got this from anonymous, you know? So anybody can contribute to research, that'd be great, because it's really hard to stay on top of everything. So, and then just to spread the word, maybe. It'd be nice if Fogg could be exposed before he dies, because then I think people won't care anymore. I don't know. It might be like too late at that point. Like nobody cares about Kim Jong Il anymore. But
it's like the Jimmy Savile thing, you know. We've had this guy who is like the most evil man in the world, and everybody just put up this story that he was doing everything for charity, and then when he dies, it's like he was the most evil man in the world, and you know, 400,000 people have been abused by him, you know, like separate people.
Yeah.
And that's not including the dead people that he abused, which is like, I don't know, let's not go there. But anyway.
and then once Fall dies, it might be like, well, you can't say anything bad about him. Don't talk ill of the dead.
Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
He was an imposter. He stole somebody's identity. He's a criminal, basically.
Yeah, well, I believe that he is in the position that he is. He is a government-employed actor.
Well, he was knighted.
Exactly.
He was knighted by the Queen for service. And he's like, well, what exactly was he doing? And I think you are exactly right. He was doing a job for God and country, or not God.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. He was doing a job. He was employed to play Paul McCartney of the Beatles.
Yep.
And the thing, and here's the last one. All right, my imagined conversation when Linda met Paul. Right, Linda says, "Hello, I'm Linda. I'm a photographic expert. I've been photographing Paul McCartney for several years, and you're not him."
That's a good point.
All right.
And
get this. And you're not him, right? So he then has the issue, because it's the official secret. If he tells the official secret, somebody has to die. You know, it's like the old joke, you know, if I told you, I'd have to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so basically telling the truth from his mouth is a death sentence. And he didn't want to. Anyway, so she got her way because she said, okay, look, here's my angle on this. You make me a rock star and I won't tell anyone.
That's a good possibility. Or at least make me your wife.
Yeah. Marry me, make me a rock star, and I'll make people fart all over the world.
Yeah, I bet she could have also been a handler. People think Yoko, you know, horse riding and artist. I mean, that's all just BS.
Yeah, artist of what? Yeah.
I mean, coming from like a super wealthy banking family, going to school for royalty, you can't tell me that she didn't have ties and that she was not planted there.
No.
Now, Linda, you know, but maybe she could have been a handler. I don't know.
But and we also have Heather's box. I'd love to look inside Heather's box.
Right. Yeah. Well, she was smart. You know, she got the evidence, and she's like, "If you top me off, then the truth is going to come out." Mm. So good to you. You know, I think she. You know what? I think she stand up personally because she found. I think she found out what happened, and she's like, "I'm not going along with it." She almost exposed him, but then she was getting death threats.
Yeah.
And, you know, she has a daughter, so she's got to protect her family. Mm. It's like, okay, we'll just take the money.
So, yeah, so here's the last thing. There's always one more, you know. So, Heather and her box. I'm just trying to think of more nuggets that I've got that I've kind of, you know, placed in the big puzzle. Because it is a big puzzle, and like I said, it's a puzzle that is part of the generation who are moving into the new age, into the seventh ray way of thinking. And they were very, very important in the shaping of this. The idea of a unified consciousness, not hive mind, but individual expression mm-hmm. of a unified source consciousness. And that's the way we're going to be. But the whole Tavistock Institute was trying to move that into something more transhuman. And it's our job to return it back to the organic timeline. There you go.
Yeah,
exactly. We like organic. We like organic, free-range, 100% homegrown timelines here on Wolf Spirit Radio. Tina Foster, it's been wonderful speaking to you. I've had a real blast.
Me too. Thank you so much. And you have a great weekend.
Thank you, and you. And well, you've got plenty of Sunday left. You've got a whole Sunday evening left. But there's Wolf Baby. She's curled up in the den over there. So thank you very much. This has been Ever Beyond, and yeah, really good idea. Where did I leave that bumper? I'll leave you with some Joao Gilberto Eclipse. Good night, everybody. Beyond.